Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. Here we are again with the great word of God. And I'm so delighted to be able to share with you more on the faith devotional line with Hebrews 11. In the last session, we talked through Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 39, immediately previous to the beginning of the famous faith chapter, the heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And in this chapter, which I've read many times, it is such an inspiring group of men and women who by faith accomplished all that God wanted them to do. Just because God wants us to do something doesn't mean it's going to happen. The will of God doesn't automatically happen. I wish it did. Some people will say, if God's so powerful, how come he can't do this? And why does he let this happen? And why doesn't he do that? Fact is, he has put the earth in our stewardship, and we are responsible. He's given dominion to you and I to rule in this world, and we are meant to. And whose rule that we implement is God's. If we submit to him, then we'll bring his will to pass into the world. But if people submit to the other guy, then his purposes come to pass in the earth. And it depends on yours and my decision that we're going to make and say we want to involve God and therefore invoke God and his power and his name into our world. As his ambassadors, we have been given authority to actually make things happen in the name of Jesus. And so when we understand that, we also need to understand that God accomplishes his purposes through believers, people who believe, people who step out in faith, because faith is the dimension in which his power operates. Now, in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a description, a definition of what faith is in our lives. It is a substance. It is something living on the inside of us. I've had houses inside of me. I've had cars. I've had church buildings, churches. I've had ministries, Bible colleges, schools, all kinds of things in me before they've materialized in the physical world. And that reality of what you have in you is birthed as a conception when God and your spirit are joined in worship. His purpose is poured into your spirit, and you conceive a reality about the future. From that time on, we need to feed that internal reality like a baby on the inside of us. Nourish it, meditate on it, believe it, see it, and speak it. As we speak it, we say, this is going to happen because we have it on the inside. It's like neither heaven nor hell could stop it coming to pass. It has been birthed. It's a reality in the future. If I keep walking by faith, I'm actually going to collide with that miracle. Giving birth to something on the inside is part of the prayer life. Paul said that he agonized in childbirth again for the believers in Galatia. It was like giving birth, he said, in prayer. That is what intercession is. But to do that, there is a conception. In Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, Jesus talks about when you pray, believe that you receive them. So it is not receiving a thing when we receive it. We receive a thing when we pray, before we've received it. We've got it inside before we get it outside. And so that is what faith is. It's a substance within us. It is the substance, the assurance, the knowing deep inside of us of a reality. And we walk by faith. We walk by that reality. It shapes the way we walk. It directs the way we walk, the direction we walk in. The things we don't do, the things we do, is shaped by that substance within. Once I have it, it modifies my behavior today because it brings me into line with the destiny that is in my future. And great faith and the will of God doesn't leave you in a gray, mystified place. There is a clarity about what God is wanting for you and I that He puts inside of us with a promise from heaven saying, this is where you're going, this is what's going to happen. We may not know the specifics or the actual definite dates when it's all going to happen, but we have a good idea and we can see victory and we can see the glory of God ahead of us. And that's called faith. Fear would be seeing disaster up ahead. Fear would be seeing terrible things happening, imagining the worst. But faith is exactly the opposite. It sees the best happening. It sees great things coming to pass. And it believes those things. And all this world rails against that sort of thinking. It hates it. Hates the positive, the dreamer, the person with a positive view. Remember Joseph's brothers? I mean, they said, here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him. They hated him because he had a positive dream about his future regarding himself. And they just hated that so much that they decided they'd kill him, their own brother. Then they decided, well, let's not do that. Let's just sell him as a slave. So they did that. They got rid of him, pretended he was dead to his father. But to be a positive person, a person with a dream, you're going to find that there's a lot of opposition because not everybody's positive. Not everybody's encouraging. People are jealous. People are envious. People hate the positive thing because it means it highlights the negativity that they have wrapped themselves in. And we need to deliver people out of the darkness, out of negativity, through the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hope for means I'm looking forward to it, not I hope it happens. This is hope of the anticipation of a guaranteed event, a good event. I know it's going to happen. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. It's like Christmas for a kid. They're looking forward to it. It's like a holiday for a married couple. They're looking forward to it. It's like a wedding day for a bride. They're looking forward to it. It's called hope. And they believe that it's going to happen. Therefore, they hope. It is the evidence of things not seen, is the second part of Hebrews 11, verse 1. It is the evidence of things not seen. That's amazing, because evidence is something you see. Evidence is held up in court. Here's evidence. Everybody can see it. But it's saying this is evidence of things not seen. So I'm seeing something that cannot be seen. It may not be seen with my natural eyes, but I can see it with my imagination. That's what faith does. It can see the future. It can see what is invisible. It can see. Faith has eyes. It can see a reality, a completed reality. And it's that vision that keeps us walking through setbacks, through failures, through disappointments, through discouragements, disillusionments. Even though these things may happen on the journey, if we hold that faith in place, we know we'll eventually get there. And that's called fighting the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because we win. The next verse in Hebrews 11 says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. From who? From God and from the believing community. What was it by? It was by faith. Now, he could have said so many things here, by piety, by fasting, by prayer life, by so many things, but he says faith. It's by faith that these people were well thought of by heaven, by God, by Jesus Christ, people who lived by faith, who lived in confidence in God, who lived boldly in Christ. These are the people that got a good report in heaven. You know, when you're at school, if you do all your exams, if you do all your homework, if you score high on your assignments, you get a good report if you behave well and all of that. Well, for a good report in heaven, God is saying, I want to know that these people are living in faith, faith in me, living by the word of God, believing that the invisible is going to come to pass. They've got the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, so this is the very first step of faith, is to know that God created the universe. He created the earth and everything else in this universe. And he did it with words. He said, let there be. And it was. When God speaks and he says, let there be, it happens. And Jesus has said in Mark 11, he says, I want you to have the faith of God. When you look at Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Some translations put that as have the faith of God. Even Jesus operated by faith. Paul said, I walk by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus himself lived by faith. He walked by faith. He didn't have a different life to you and I in terms of being human. He had to become fully human so that it was reasonable of him to anticipate that we could live like him, that we could be like him. And so by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they were all involved in creation. But as the Father spoke, worlds came into being. All of the universe materialized, manifested, was created out of nothing. He began with nothing. The worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So he's saying visible things don't create visible things. The visible creation was not created by some machinery that you can see, by some organization that exists. Now he says, the things that you can see are actually made of things that you can't see. And that is words. So they are more powerful. The things that are invisible, like words, like the Spirit of God, like the Word of God, are far more powerful than the things you can see. At the dawn of history, we find various people stepping out in faith. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 starts to tell us about some of those. So we're going to have a look at just one today and then more in the next few faith devotionals. The first one that Hebrews 11 speaks of is in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. So Adam and Eve learned early on in the Garden of Eden that the means for atonement for their sin was the death of another. We're told that God clothed them in the skin of animals, sheepskin. They were clothed in that Garden of Eden once they realized they were so naked. For that to happen, there had to be a sacrifice. The animal had to die. The sheep had to die. And so after it had died, God used the skin to clothe them. It's a deep picture of how we are clothed now with Christ, the one who died for us. He sacrificed his life for us to atone for our sin, to gain us pardon, to forgive us and cleanse us. And now we are in Christ. We're clothed with him. So the idea of being in Christ is a very deep, ancient concept begun in the Garden of Eden. And so now we see that Abel, their son, and Cain are both aware that this is how your sins are atoned for, by the death of a sheep, of an animal on your behalf. Someone has to pay for sin. And because God loves us, he wants to get someone else to pay for it, because if we pay for it, it's eternal separation from him. He doesn't want that. So in the beginning, he instituted the sacrificial lamb that would die on our behalf, and he would accept that as payment for our sin. But in the end, people were just unconscionable. They didn't have any conscience about sinning, and so they just do the sacrifice as a technical point. And God said, your lips honor me, but your heart's far from me. And so he then sent Jesus to become that Passover lamb for us. So now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has paid the price of our sins and died on our behalf in place of us. But the beauty of that is he rose also from the dead, because death couldn't hold the Son of God. And now we are clothed with Christ. And that is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. And Abel knew this. And Abel was a shepherd. He kept sheep. Whereas Cain, his elder brother, he grew vegetables. He grew crops. And so when it came time for them to bring an offering to the Lord, to atone for their sin, to cover for their mistakes, Abel brought a lamb, an animal sacrifice, the shedding of blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But Cain, he brought vegetables. And God was offended. That is not how you atone for sin, with vegetables. It's not even an offering to God. But because it was what he made as a farmer, he wanted to bring his thing like Abel was bringing his thing. And as if Cain, the older brother, he's thinking, as if I'm going to do what my little brother's doing, as if I'm going to imitate him, I'm going to do it my way. And Cain is the epitome of what religion is, worshiping God in man-made ways rather than coming the way God has commanded us. And then it says, through which Abel obtained witness. Well, the way that sacrifices obtained witness throughout the scriptures is fire came out of the sky and consumed the sacrifice. This happens several times throughout the Old Testament. And even in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, fire came upon all those apostles in the upper room. And so now here is Abel with fire pouring out of heaven, consuming his sacrifice, but on Cain's offering, nothing. Just limp vegetables lying on that altar. So he was very unhappy about that, extremely unhappy. In the end, he murders his little brother Abel, kills him because of the anger and the offense he took over his offering not being acceptable. But God testified of Abel's gifts and said, "This is what I want." So faith is obedience to God. It takes faith to do what God says. It takes courage. It takes obedience. And Abel still got a message for us that says, though he's dead, He still speaks. And the message is, do it God's way. Believe God that He is going to honor you, bless you, and testify of you and accompany you, work with you when you bring to Him what He has called on you to do. And the greatest measure of attitude, the greatest character trait you and I can bring today before the Lord in a Thomas generation, in a cynical, doubtful generation, questioning everything, is to come with faith in God, in His Word, and to walk in that, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I look forward to talking with you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.